Jamie Gibber, who sponsored the series, and who have allowed this this learning to take place. I also want to thank Isaac Held for helping me today with the photocopies. You deserve a public recognition, and thanks for helping me out. Last week we began, we spoke about the sense of smell. And we spoke about it in the context of Parshas Noach. We spoke about it in the context of Mar Cheshvan. And we spoke about it in the context of the Yom Noram and the Yom Tovim. We began last week, I want to just review very quickly how we introduced, in this time period in which we find ourselves, on the heels of Yom Noram, on the heels of the Yom Tovim, that really the entire process of the Yom Noram and the Yom Tovim we explained last week is really a means of helping us to recalibrate and to make sure that our senses are being used to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we started, we said that we read Parshas Shoftim every year as we begin Chodesh Elul, because Shoftim v'Shotrim titein lecha b'chol sha'arecha. The Torah says, make sure that you have officers, and that you have judges guarding the gates. The gates refers to the senses, the various openings of the body. We spoke about on Rosh Hashanah, how we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We ask Hashem, very interesting, in the tefillah, every time we blow the shofar, we say, Hashem, we want you to hear the shofar, but we also want you to see the shofar. Because what we're trying to do is show that, again, our senses have reached a heightened level, that we're no longer bound by hearing only in the ear, and seeing only with the eye, but that we should reach a loftier level of the senses coming together in an interesting way. We spoke about the sukkah. We spoke about how a sukkah has three walls, a ceiling and a floor. And how the Kajal of Ergon thought that those three walls plus the roof and its floor also correspond to the five senses. And then last but not least, we spoke about how Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, when we take the Sefer Torah and we dance with the Sefer Torah, it's a non-verbal expression of saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And we explained from Rabbeinu Bachaye that every time we say Shema, we take the five fingers of our hand, corresponding so magnificently to the five senses, and we cover our eyes, and in that moment of declaration, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we're saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're committing ourselves to serve you with all of our senses. And that's how we end the Yom Noram, by taking the Sefer Torah in our hand, and almost taking a Shvuah with the Torah in our fingers, saying, Hashem, with the Torah in my hand, I swear to you, I'm going to use my senses to serve you in the proper way. It's hard to let go of Tishrei. I know we're well into Cheshvan by now. It's hard to let go of Chodesh Tishrei. Such an amazing month. So I want to actually start tonight again by going back, in light of tonight's topic. We're going to talk about the sense of sight. I want to talk about it. I want to introduce it by way of a very interesting remez that's brought from the Shulchan Kadosh regarding Chodesh Tishrei. Pasuk in Amos says in source number one, hope everyone has a source sheet. Pasuk says, Aryeh Sha'ag mi lo yira. When the lion roars, who would not be frightened? And the Shulchan Kadosh in source number two brings a very interesting remez. He says, we refer to these days as Yamim no Ra'im. When the Aryeh, when the lion roars, who is not afraid? He says, we find in Kadmonim, in early sources, an interesting remez, Aryeh is Rosh Tevos, Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hoshana Rabbah. So when the Aryeh is in town, when it's Chodesh Elul, and when it's Rosh Hashanah, and when it's Yom Kippur, and when it's Hoshana Rabbah, Mi lo yira, who is not afraid? Yamim no ra'im. Now a lion has many remarkable characteristics, many remarkable traits. One of the unique things that we find, even in the writings of Chazal about a lion, is that a lion, even when a lion sleeps, its eyes are somewhat open. If you look in source number 3, in the Medrash Talpiot, under the entry for Aryeh, he quotes Medrash Talpiot as a fascinating collection of sources from more mainstream sources and more obscure Midrashic-like sources, Kabbalistic sources, very, very interesting sefer. And he writes, again, under the entry for Aryeh, it's arranged alphabetically, the entry for lion, he writes, Aryeh tamid hu yashin be'inayim pekuchos. The lion sleeps with his eyes open. Now again, I didn't do my full research, I didn't get a chance to email the Zoo Rabbi to confirm Rabbi Slifkin, to get a sense of whether or not a lion sleeps with his eyes open, truly or not, but many Svarim talk about this idea, that the lion's eyes are open. That the lion, one of its skills is that it's always on guard. Its eyes are open. So it's very interesting. We come out of this tekufa of Aryeh, of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hoshana Rabbah. Aryeh, Aleph, Resh, Yod, Hey. And we hope that these were days of Yira, the same letters, Yod, Resh, Aleph, Hey. And hopefully we've become like the lion, that now we have Resh, Aleph, Yod, Hey, a new Re'iyah, a new vision, a new perspective on life, a new perspective on the opportunities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers us. So tonight we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about perspective. We're going to talk about the chush of Re'iyah, the ability to see, and what does it mean to see in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a Jew to see. There's probably no sense of the five senses. Now, I'll probably do this every week, but since tonight we're talking about seeing, we'll talk about seeing as being the ultimate sense. There's no sense that is more important in defining. Of all the five senses, there is no sense that is more true to a definition of man than the sense of sight. If you go back, last week we spoke about how smell was not damaged by the Eitz Hadas. The truth is, where did it begin? Where did the original sin really begin? The first thing that Chava did wrong is that she looked at the tree and she saw that it was pleasing in her eyes. So in a certain sense, the root of all sin, the very moment that the Avera, the original Avera began, was a pagam in Re'iyah, was not seeing in the right way, was looking at something that one was not supposed to look at. But it really defines man. The ability to see and how we see and to use our eyes in a Jewish way really defines the essence of the person. Again, we spoke last week, Rabbeinu Bachaya told us the five fingers correspond to the five senses. And he told us in Parsha Sa'ah how each finger knows exactly where to go. Right? A child sucks on its thumb, goes to the mouth, taste. The first finger goes to the nose. The middle finger, the ama, is the longest finger. Touch. The kamitza, the next finger, is used to wipe one's eye, and the pinky is used to clean one's ear. An amazing, amazing way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by divine design, programmed our body to know exactly how it's supposed to be used. So we can learn a lot of amazing things from the body. So let's talk about the eye. Let's talk about the eye. The eye is a marvelous creation. I'm always embarrassed to say anything about the eye. My father's an eye doctor, so you can speak to him about the wonders of the eye. But the eye is a wondrous creation. There are many wondrous creations in the body. But the eye is something in particular that captivated Jewish and non-Jewish scholars and thinkers and scientists alike. When the Chazon Ish wrote his beautiful poetic work, Emuno Bitachon. It's really actually on other topics as well. It's the name of the Sefer is Emuna, Bitachon, Vod, and other topics. But for whatever reason, when they print it, they just write Emuna and Bitachon on the cover. So everyone refers to it as the Chazon Ish Sefer, Emuna, Bitachon. It's Emuna, Bitachon, those are the first two topics, and then he goes on to other themes in Machshava, in Hashkafa. But in the Emuna, Bitachon, when he begins, when the Chazon Ish begins the Sefer, and he's trying to inspire us to have Emuna, to believe in God, you know where he starts? Where does the Chazon Ish begin? What's the greatest proof, he says, that there's a God in this world? The Chazon Ish begins in beautiful, beautiful, poetic, difficult Hebrew. He starts to describe the wonders of the body. There's no greater way to believe that there has to be a God than to study the body. And very early on in the Sefer, the Chazon Ish begins to talk very beautiful, in very poetic and beautiful language about the eye. What a wondrous creation the eye is. That's how the Chazon Ish begins the process of teaching us how to believe in God. If you think about the eye, if you think about what a wondrous creation the eye is, what a complex organ the eye is, a person comes to belief in God. In fact, Charles Darwin, Lavdo from the Chazon Ish, the founder of evolution, we have a letter that he wrote to one of his friends in 1860, to Asa Gray, and he wrote him regarding the eye, and I quote, "The eye to this day gives me a cold shudder." Meaning as Darwin is coming up with the theory of evolution, when he thinks about the eye, and the possibility of an eye evolving, it sends a cold shudder down his spine. And he goes on, he writes in that letter from 1860, he says, you know, I just need to get over it already. But there's a part of me that almost wants to throw evolution out the window when I think about the complexity of the eye. So the eye is a wondrous organ, and if it's true physically, it's true spiritually as well. There's a lot to think about in terms of the lessons that we can cull from the eye. There's a comment in the Derech Eretz Zuta. In the back of Maseches Avodah Zarah, there are Masechtos Ketanos, minor tractate. That's where it's printed in Shas, if you wanted to look this up. And there's a minor tractate called Maseches Derech Eretz. There's the large one and the small one. Derech Eretz Zuta means the small Maseches Derech Eretz. In Perek Tes, it says that the eye is compared to the world, and the world is compared to the eye. That our eye is like a miniature globe, right, placed within the body of man, and the pupil of the eye, the center of the eye, corresponds to what? To Eretz Yisrael. So we have to look at it. We have to look at our eye when we think about what am I going to see? How am I going to use my eyes? Right? I have to think that I really have the entire universe, so to speak, being entrusted to my eyes. At the center of the eye is the pupil, and I want to share with you an amazing insight that we can gain from thinking about the pupil. David HaMelech davens for Kodesh Baruch Hu's protection in Tehillim Perek Yud Zayin in source number 4. David HaMelech says, Ribono Sholom, I need your help. Shamreini, watch over me, protect me, ki yishon bas ayin. Protect me like the pupil of the eye. Says the Radak in source number 5. Why is the Hebrew word for pupil, for the pupil of the eye, why is the Hebrew word ishon? Why is that? Why does the word, how does the word ishon, how does the word ishon mean pupil of the eye? We know in Lashon HaKodesh the words are very precise, and he says the following explanation. The Radak writes in source number 5, V'nikra ishon lefi sheniras bo tzuras ish. The word ishon, which means pupil, comes from the word ish. Why? Because when you look someone in the eye, and you see a reflection in their pupil, what do you see? You see an ish, you see a person. You see a reflection of yourself in someone else's eye. What's the vav nun at the end of the word? Says the Radak, a klal in Hebrew language. V'avav v'anun lahakten. Whenever you have a vav nun at the end of the word, it comes to mean, comes to imply a miniature version of something. So what an amazing word. Ishon. The pupil is called an ishon. The pupil is called an ishon because when you look someone in the eye, you see a miniature version of a person. What does that mean? What's the lesson in that? So Rav Mordechai Gifter, if I'm not mistaken, explained. Rav Gifter said, because when I'm talking to someone, I don't want to look at myself as being bigger than them, as better than them. God forbid to speak to them in a condescending or patronizing way. So therefore, when I look at someone, what do I see before me? I see the entire person, the person I'm speaking to. And in terms of myself, what do I see? I see a much smaller version of myself. And that reminds me to humble myself before someone else to try to learn from them. I've got a beautiful insight that HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed into the human body, into the human experience. But I want to suggest a different shot in why the pupil of the eye, the center of the eye, so to speak, the center of the universe, again, the eye being the whole globe, why is it that the center of the eye is called an ishon? Because the way a person uses his or her eyes, the way we look at things, the way we look at Hashem's world, the way we look at ourselves and our fellow Jews, the way we look around is an indicator, it's an ishon. It's literally an indicator, it's a miniature replica of you. It's a miniature version of man. That the entirety of who you are is going to be defined by the way that you use your eyes. And it's a reminder to you, as you again, you look someone else in the eye, and you see that reflection, you remind yourself that my whole existence is dependent upon the eye. That, so to speak, a miniature model of my entire life can be defined by how I use my eyes. And whether a person's mindful of it or not, the eye itself actually tells this story. I want to give you two proofs, two examples of how the eye declares that I am the center of your existence, that I am the center of your reality, that I define you, that I'm your ishon, so to speak. I'm the miniature version of the entirety of who you are. Number one. Where do we see how amazing the eye is? Again, in the spiritual fashion. Where do we see that the eye was really a window onto the neshama, a window onto the soul? So much so that halacha states, it's brought, the minhag is that when someone passes away, when the neshama has left their body, right, we close their eyes, we gently close their eyes. There's a connection between the neshama and the eye. How do you know that to be true? So I'll share with you an amazing insight from the Sefer Or Yitzchak. Or Yitzchak was Rav Yitzchak of Radvil. He was the son of the Maggid of Zlotchev, Zlotchev or Maggid, Zchusi again Aleinu, and he comments B'derech Drush on a pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev. Vayeshev, we have one of the strangest, most difficult scenes in the Torah to wrap your head around. The incident of Yehuda and Tamar. And Yehuda is there, he goes, and he finds this Ishozona, he doesn't recognize her, it's his own daughter-in-law, it's Tamar, she becomes pregnant with his child, she's being taken out to be executed, a very strange scene. But after Yehuda was intimate with this woman, and he solicited her, and he gave her some collateral till he's able to pay her, he comes back to the crossroads, and he's looking for the woman. He's looking for the Isha Zona down by the road, the Kadesha. Says the Torah in source number 6, Vayishal is Anshe Mekoma Lemor, Ayei HaKadesha, Hibei Naim. What happened? What happened to the Kadesha? What happened to the Isha Zona? What happened to that harlot who was down by the crossroads? Where'd she go? I'm looking for her. And of course, they respond, what are you talking about? There is no such woman. Right? And he's very confused. So who was that? Who was that girl? That woman who disguised herself? She covered herself. He wasn't used to seeing her. He didn't realize it was his own daughter-in-law. We know the story. The Sefer Or Yitzchak, B'derech Drush, finds an amazing idea in those words, Ayei HaKadesha, Hi Be'enayim. Again, Pashup Shat. It means, where is the Kadesha? Where is that woman of ill repute? She's Be'enayim. She's by the crossroads. But the word Kedesha sounds a lot like Kedusha. And the word Einayim sounds a lot like Einayim. Where is Kedusha found? Kedusha is found in your eyes. And he brings an unbelievable proof. Again, a physical proof. A biological proof that we can say absolutely true. We can respond and say, yes, that's correct. Look what he writes where it's bolded in source 7. V'araya she'einayim himakum haneshama kedosha. What is the ultimate proof? That the eye is the mishkan haneshama. That your neshama is connected to your eyes. Shal kol evari haguf kishayipo aleim ma'at afar lo ichpas lahem klum. That almost every part of the body, if a bit of dirt falls upon your body, it doesn't bother you at all. A speck of dust on your arm, on your leg. Right? A speck of dust even in your mouth. It's bearable. It doesn't upset you very much. But a little, a tiny speck, a tiny piece of sawdust gets in your eye, right? And it can cause your whole system to shut down. You become so troubled by it. It's a sakanas nefashos, he says. Why is that so? Why is the eye so sensitive? It's also basar, he says. It's also flesh, like other parts of the body. Why does the eye have such a strong response to gashmias? And the answer is, the ha'inayim ein basar k'mo shari varim. He says, right? The eye is like any other physical body part. Ach machmas she'inayim im dava ruchani mishkan ha'neshama. But because the eye, again, is so to speak, the spiritual center of man's existence, therefore, the neshama is present there. And if the neshama is present there, the neshama says, I don't have time or patience. I don't have any room in my world for even a speck of dust. Even the tiniest bit of gashmias bothers me. That a davar ruchani, something as spiritually lofty as the eye, can't be sovel, can't contain itself, other than to reject even the smallest davar gashmi. A second proof from the eye. That again, the eye lends itself, it indicates to us. The eye calls out to us and says, I am a limb like no other. I function differently than all the other parts of your body. In what sense is the eye, again, the center of our existence? So, there's a rare sefer, it's called the Machze Einayim. It was written by the Bialystok Ramagid, in source number 8. And he asks, again, a very, very fascinating question. Based on our own human experience, a question we may never thought to have asked. But he says where it's bolded. Al ma asa Hashem kacha. Why did Hashem program our bodies in such a way? Ki yardu mayim me'inayim lo me'ivar machirim. Why is it that the eyes cry? Now, again, that sounds like a funny question because we're so used to it. But why does it make sense? Why does it make sense that my eye, when there's an emotional response, that my eye should respond more than my fingers should respond? Right? Why doesn't my mouth start to overflow with saliva? Right? Why is the eye the one that wells up, that flows with water, when the body has a response? He says, if the hand, if the foot gets injured, you stub your toe. Why does the eye respond? You hurt your arm. Why does the eye respond? The eye always is the guf, the part of the guf to respond. So he says in the third line, why does the eye cry for every part of your body? And he answers, ki huze hatam ledavar, mipnei ki einei ha'odam heima reishis l'chol chatas. Because your eye is the starting point of all of your problems. Why did you stub your toe? Why did you stub your toe? Mistama, you stub your toe. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to have a little bit of suffering in this world, so you don't have to suffer in the next world. Maybe you made some bad choices. And Hashem says, I'm going to give you a difficulty in this world. Right? But where did it all start? Where did those bad choices start? Where did all sin start? Going again back to Gan Eden, it was when Chava used her eyes in the wrong way. And very often, all of the problems that we have in our life is because our vision, our perspective on life itself is a little bit off. That the body parts that get into trouble, it usually starts with the eye. Rashi writes, you don't have it on the page in front of you, but Rashi says very often the process of making bad choices goes like this. Ha'ayin ro'eh, the eye sees something. V'halev chomed, the heart desires it. V'haguf oses averos, and then the body goes ahead and does the avera. So often, the choices that we're making, the bad choices that we're making, the mistakes that we make, the averas that we do, are rooted in what? Are rooted in the eye. And to remind us of that reality, says the Bialystok Magid, in his Machzeh Einayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed the eye to always respond. The eye is the one that responds. You stub your toe, the eye responds. You have something that's bothering your mind, your eyes respond. The eye always is the one to respond, because the eye is the source of the problem. And he concludes in the last three lines of source number 8. He says, perhaps this is the intention of David HaMelech and the Pasuk in Tehillim. The Pasuk says, Palge mayim yardu einai, alo shomru torasecha. He says, alo shamarti torasecha lo nemar, palge mayim yardu einai, a river, so to speak, flowing from the eyes, alo shomru torasecha. And he's medayik. It doesn't say, alo shamarti torasecha. What does it say? Alo shomru torasecha. That the eyes are watering. Why? Because they were not shomer their Torah. The eyes didn't do their job. Alo shomru heinayim torascha. That the eyes didn't guard the Torah the way they were supposed to. V'lachein heima yoridu palgemai. And therefore it's the eye, again, that gets us into trouble so easily sometimes. And therefore it's the eye that responds first and foremost to all of the troubles that we experience. This reality that's expressed from our own, again, individual bodies, and it's known to us from our own human experience, is also true on a more collective, on a more global, Klal Yisrael type of level. That the eyes of the Jewish people, not only the eye of each individual is so critical, but the eyes, the perspective and the eyes of the Jewish people, in many ways, is the bottom line of Kol HaTorah Kula. The Torah has many messages. The Torah has many mitzvahs. The Torah has many values. But Pesach HaKol, when you get to the bottom line, what's the bottom line? I've read through the Torah from beginning to end, and now I'm standing at the last three words of the Torah. And if Hashem has to put the finishing touches on the Torah, so to speak, to sign His Torah at the bottom, at the end of the document, to sign the letter, the beautiful Torah that He has given us, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu sign off? Le'enei Kol Yisrael. That's the bottom line. The bottom line of the Torah. All the things that are being taught to us through the Torah, the bottom line, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Le'enei Kol Yisrael. It really comes down to the eyes of the Jewish people. And a proper eyesight and a proper perspective is going to be able to, is going to help one to b'kayim Kol HaTorah Kula. And if the eyes are not in the right place, then the whole system could collapse. The Svarim HaKadoshim say that's the secret of a very puzzling Gemara in Maseches Tanis in source number 9. The Gemara says, commenting on a pasuk in Parshas Shlach, V'haya im me'enei ha'ida nesa lishkaga. If the Einei ha'ida, if the Sanhedrin, make a terrible mistake. The Gemara comments as follows, Mashal l'kala shehibu be'saviyah. A mashal of a kala. How do you know if the kala is a good kala? How do you know if the bride is going to be a proper bride? So says the Gemara, Kol zman she'eineha yafos, as long as she has beautiful eyes, ein kol gufa tzricha bedika. You don't need to look into her any more than that. You don't need to see anything else. If she has nice eyes, it's an indication that things are good. Eineha trutos, if something is off with her eyes, kol gufa tzricha bedika. Now again, the Gemara is not giving us advice in terms of physical attraction, husbands and wives, right? Each person has different desires in that regard. On a deeper level, what the Gemara is telling us, who's the Kala? Who's the ultimate Kala? The ultimate Kala is Knesset Yisrael, is the Jewish people. And we stood at our Sinai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu held the mountain over our head, the Chuppah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu married us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Chassan, maybe the Torah is the Chassan, however you want to understand it, but it's referring to Klal Yisrael. So when the Kala has nice eyes, when the Jewish people use their eyes properly, they ain kol gufa tzricha bedika. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if the Jewish eyes are in the right place, then I'm confident the Jewish people will keep my Torah. But if the eyes of my caliph, Klal Yisrael, don't know how to look with their eyes in the right way, then I'm concerned that everything could fall apart. That this marriage is not going to last, that it's not going to work. Again, if the eyes of the caliph are beautiful, ain kol gufa tzricha bedika. So what are the eyes of Klal Yisrael? So, one of the ways that we encounter the eyes of Klal Yisrael, the Arizal tells us that every month of the calendar year has a corresponding body part. So which part of the calendar year corresponds to the eyes? Interesting question. The different parts of the face correspond to the different months. The Arizal says that the months of Tammuz and Av respectively correspond to the right eye and the left eye. Tammuz and Av, the summer months, the Bein HaMitzarim, a time when we come into direct contact, perhaps more than any other time of the year, where we face Golus and we long for the opportunity of Geula. And it's Dafka in those months of Tammuz and Av that the eyes are being challenged. Physically, it's true. Very often, the way that people dress in the summer months certainly can present many challenges in terms of tznius and using one's eyes in a very simple way, in the proper way. But the months of Tammuz and Av challenge is much deeper than that. Right? In a time, again, of the Bein HaMitzarim, where we're trying to fix the sinas chinam that caused the Chorban, to say, can I look at a Jew in the right way? Can I have eyes looking towards Geula? See, peace al Yeshua, my longing, do I have an eye towards the future? That's the avoda of Tammuz and Av, the month of the eyes. This is something that Bnei Yisrael writes about a lot in his writings on the months and Tammuz and Av in source number 10. And he says a very beautiful thing. He says that the two eyes, he says where it's bolded, at the end of that first little paragraph, he says, V'hinei einayim halalu yetuknu ve'iru bevo Pinchas Eliyahu b'mehera b'yameinu b'gematria beiz pamim ayin. Brings an interesting remez. All of the Bein HaMetzarim were longing for Mashiach. So much so, the Medrash even says in Eicha Rabba that Mashiach himself is going to be born on Tisha B'Av. That's the moment we're hoping for. And we know from Chazal that Pinchas, who became a Malach, who became Eliyahu, Pinchas and Eliyahu is one and the same Neshama, that Pinchas and Eliyahu are going to be the ones, the harbinger, so to speak, to announce the arrival of Mashiach. So says the Bnei Yisrael, how interesting it is, that in the month of the two eyes, right, he says Pinchas plus Eliyahu in Gematria is Ayin plus Ayin. Ayin Yud Nun, the Hebrew word for eye, and Ayin Yud Nun, the Hebrew word for eye. So in the month, if we can fix the eyes, if we can fix each eye, then we'll be zochet to Pinchas Eliyahu, we'll be zochet to the Gula. But he goes one step further. And he tells us something that perhaps we've never heard before. What's Mashiach's name? What is Mashiach's name? There's Gemaras in Sanhedrin that talk about it, there are Midrashim. But he says, if you look in some very deep Torah works, and in the Slichos, we have a piyut that says such an idea. It talks about in the Slichos, Tishbi, Menachem, Unechemiah. The three individuals who will come together to bring the Gula are Tishbi, Eliyahu at Tishbi, Menachem and Nechemiah. Who are Menachem and Nechemiah? So he writes where it's bolded. Bnei Yisrael writes, Nechemiah ben Chushiel and Menachem ben Amiel. These are the names of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. Again, the names of Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, we know there are two Mashiachim. Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, their names are Nechemiah ben Chushiel and Menachem ben Amiel. So he says a beautiful insight, a beautiful remez. If you take the gematria of Nechemiah ben Chushiel plus Menachem ben Amiel plus Eliyahu, it's gematria Bereishis. Bereishis, 913. That's what we're longing for. We want to come back to Bereishis, we want to come back to Gan Eden, we want to serve you, Hashem, from the start the way it was meant to be. And not to mess up from day one with our eyes when Chava looked at the tree and it was Nechman Lamara, that it was pleasing in her eyes. And she was tempted by it. And it led to the chait that we're still trying to recover from till this day. Nechemiah ben Chushiel, Menachem ben Amiel, plus Eliyahu is Gematria Bereishis. But concludes the Bnei Yisrael, we know that to come to Bereishis, whenever we finish the Torah, we go back to Bereishis. And there's a connection between the end of the Torah and the beginning of the Torah. And therefore, the end of the Torah is La'inei Kol Yisrael, and the beginning of the Torah is Bereishis, says the Bnei Yisrael, in Chodesh Tammuz and Av, as we're trying to bring the Geula, as we're trying to fix the two eyes, as we're dreaming of Pinchas and Eliyahu, as we're hoping to get back to Bereishis, to get back to Nechemiah, and to Menachem, and to Eliyahu and Navi, to usher in the Geula, but we can only get there if what? If La'inei Kol Yisrael, those last three words of the Torah are in their place, then we can start the Torah over. Then we can go back to Bereishis. But if we have not yet, at the end of time, fixed Le'inei Kol Yisrael, then we can't come to Bereishis. And we can't come to the Geula Shleim. So what does it mean to see with Jewish eyes? On a Pashan level, we all know what it means to see with Jewish eyes. We know what it means to look at people in the right way. We know what it means to look at ourselves in the right way. We know what it means to not look at things that are unholy, which there are plenty of in the world. But I want to try to study for, again, the last 15 minutes or so, what it means to have Jewish eyes from a Torah perspective. Not just to talk from our own experience, but to try to see it through the lens of the Torah itself. Where is the first time in the Torah we encounter the concept of seeing? Sight. Where does sight first appear in the Torah? We have a tradition from the Vilna Gaon, where Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin brings this idea as well, in his Sefer Yisrael Kedoshim, in source number 11, that the first time a word appears in the Torah, it informs us of the essence of that word. So where do we first encounter vision, seeing, sight in the Torah? Very early on. Rav Tzadok writes in source number 11, Kibalti, Shebechol davar ve'inyin b'makom shemila zo niskar pam rishona b'Torah. Sham hu shoresh ha'inyin. Identify, pay attention. The first time a word appears in the Torah, that's the essence of that word. Rav Tzadok, in another one of his writings, in the Pre-Tzadik, on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, in Os Beis, he says the first time a letter appears in the Torah. That also tells us about the essence of that letter. So we have to pay attention to the first time something arrives on the scene. The first time we meet Avram, he's 75 years old. We need to ask ourselves, why don't we know anything about Avram before he's 75 years old? We look at the first, and we view it with great significance. So where do we first encounter seeing in the Torah? And that will inform us what it means to see in the way that Hashem wants us to see. So very early on, in Pasuk Dalet, four Pesukim into the Torah, source number 12, Vayar Elokim es ha'or, ki tov, Vayavdel Elokim bein or, bein ha'choshech. Hashem saw that the light that He had created was tov, was good. Vayavdel Elokim bein or, bein ha'choshech. So what do we learn from this Pasuk? We learn a lot of things from this Pasuk. But I'd like to suggest that we learn from the Pasuk, Vayar Elokim es ha'or, ki tov. That true seeing, the definition of truly seeing something, is to be able to see that which is tov. To develop a perspective of tov. To see good things. Vayar Elokim es ha'or ki tov. The first time God saw, God didn't see with disappointment. God didn't see with frustration. There are times when God looks at His world and He is frustrated, kiviyachol. And there are times where Hashem looks at the world and He regrets the world, kiviyachol. And there are times where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I need to see what's happening in Sodom. I need to see what's happening in my world. But the first time Hashem sees, the essence of seeing is Vayar Elokim es ha'or ki tov. And training ourselves to have a Jewish eye means to learn how to see good, to see goodness, to use our eyes in a way that we only see the good of things. And now we come to this week's Parsha. Because I picked the topics in accordance with the Parshas. We have to connect each of our five senses to the Parshas. By the way, next week we're off. I'm sorry, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. Mir Tzashem on Sunday. And then the following Thursday is Thanksgiving, so we'll be off for that week also. But Mir Tzashem will be back. Parshas Toldos to talk about Shmiah, the power of hearing. Okay, but today is Terev Shabbos, Lech Lecha. We're getting ready for Parshas Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha is a Parsha of vision, a Parsha of seeing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avram. Avram is a tzaddik who knows how to see people in the right way. Avram is able to look at a non-believer and say, you too can believe in God, come into my tent. Avram is able to look at a bunch of Yishmaelim wandering in the desert and run to greet them because he believes that there's something that he can teach them. Avram had a certain way of looking at people. To look at his own son Yishmael, when Sarah says, get him out of the house, he's no good. And Avram's upset by that. Not just because it's his son, but because Avram believes in people. He has a certain perspective. He sees the good in others. And that's something we see throughout the life of Avram Avinu. So therefore, it makes a lot of sense that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to speak to Avram for the first time, in source number 13, the beginning of this parsha, Vayomer Hashem el Avram, Lech lecha me'artzecha u'mimoladetecha u'mbezavicha el ha'aretz asher ar'eka. I want you to pick up, I want you to go to Eretz Yisrael, and it's a land that I'm going to show you. Interesting. Everyone wants to know, why didn't Hashem tell him where he's going? Hashem says, I want to show it to you. I want you to see it as you get there. Rashi even uses a lashon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu concealed where he was going. Lechavava be'einav. So it should be what? It should be pleasing in his eyes. Part of Avram, the man of good vision, going to Eretz Yisrael, is that he should be able to learn to see, to continue to see in the way of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a place where we try to see things in the right way. It's a place of clarity. It's a place of perspective. It's a place of feeling that I'm close to Hashem, and Hashem is close to me. The Pasuk says that the Einei Hashem are constantly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my eyes are constantly upon Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Avram, I want to show it to you. And I'm not telling you where it is, because I want you, as we're going, I want it lechava ve'einav. I want you, everywhere you look, I want you to be looking and trying to say, oh, maybe this is it. To see every stop along the way. This is good. This could be it. Is this what you're talking about, God? No, I have even better for you. But to train your eye to always be looking to see things in a good way. And therefore, it's not by chance. It's not by chance that Eretz Yisrael is described over and over the same way we just read. Again, we introduced the concept of seeing. The fourth pasuk of the Chumash, Vayar Elokim es ha'or ki tov. It's not by chance that Eretz Yisrael is a place that's very good. A place of good vision. What does David HaMelech say about Yerushalayim? It's not on the page in front of you. Yivarecha Hashem mitzion u're'ei b'tuv Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the Eretz Yisrael, it's the pupil of the eye, the Medrash told us. It's the center of the universe, center of the world. And just like the pupil of the eye, again, the pupil of the eye has to be trained to see in the right way. Right? The pupil of the eye is so sensitive, it's so delicate. Ayei HaKadesha, where is Kedusha? Hi be'inayim. So too, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, all the more so when you come to Yerushalayim, u're'ei b'tuv Yerushalayim, to see the goodness of Yerushalayim. To see the goodness of Eretz Yisrael. How is Eretz Yisrael described in the Torah? The Torah refers to Eretz Yisrael as a place that's very, very good. In source 14, it's a land that's tova ha'aretz ma'od ma'od. And therefore it's so fitting that Avram Avinu, the man of good vision, a person of lofty vision, like we say on Shabbos in Yikom Parkan, Right? We daven, we should have nahora ma'aliyah, we should have lofty vision. We should be people who see things in a big way, in a good way, in an elevated way. It makes sense that Avram, who saw the good in everyone, is able to go to Eretz Yisrael, a place that's described as tova ma'od ma'od, very, very good place. Vayar lokim asor ki tov. To bask in the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in Eretz Yisrael. And again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, describes it as what? As Ha'aretz Asher Ar'eka. As the land that I want to show you. When Avram finally comes to Eretz Yisrael, when Avram's able to see Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't see it the way that normal people see Eretz Yisrael. Avram is given Rishus to see Eretz Yisrael, perhaps like no one in history. It could be that Moshe also got a taste of this when he looked at Eretz Yisrael. But Avram, in a miraculous fashion, in an elevated fashion, in a completely unique way, was able to see the land of Israel. Pasuk tells us in the Parsha, in Source 15, Hashem says to Avram, after he separated from Lot, Saw na einecha ure'ei, lift up your eyes and you shall see. Min ha-makom asher ata sham tzafona v'negba v'kedma v'yama. From the place that you're standing, Avram, just open your eyes and what will you see? You'll see all the directions. So let's ask a simple question. First of all, if I'm standing in any one place, can I see all of Eretz Yisrael? Can I see in different directions if I'm facing one particular direction? And yet, says the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, a miraculous thing took place. The man of lofty vision, Avraham Avinu, saw like no one else in history. Says the Aruch Haim HaKadosh in Source 16, Kan asa lo neis atzum. Avraham saw a wondrous thing in a wondrous way. Sheyuchal liros mitzafon lidaro mimarav lemizrach mimakom echan mibli sheyutzrach lesovev. Avram was able to look in one direction to see everything. To see in front of him, to see behind him, to see to his right, to see to his left, to see all around. And the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the Aruch Haim HaKadosh Bashkacha Pratis so many years ago write this comment, knowing that one day, years later, hundreds of years later, we'd have a shir on a Thursday night, Parshas Lech Lecha, he's mamish talking to us. So I found this last night. Just last night, I picked the topic already. I was stuck. And the Aruch Haim says, look what he writes. Kishir chush harayus, hu mugvo ba'adam. For most people, our ability to see is limited. It's bound. It's limited because we don't use our eyes in the right way. So we don't know how to tap into it the way that Avram tapped into it. But if we have an Avram Avinu perspective, if we have an Eretz Yisrael perspective, if we try to see good, vayar lukim asor ki tov, if we have a re'eh betuv Yerushalayim, and Eretz Yisrael, which is tov ha'aretz ma'od ma'od, then a person is able to transcend those boundaries and those borders. As asher yasig l'or ha'shemesh, we can only see so much as l'or ha'chayim ha'kadosh. V'kan asa lo Hashem neis, that Avram was able to have all the kitzvos ha'aretz, the various corners of Eretz Yisrael, to be brought together. To be able to pull all of Eretz Yisrael together, to be able to see the fullness of Eretz Yisrael in a single glance over the land. Maisa avos simin labanim. We have to conclude by going from the world of Avram Avinu to the world in which we find ourselves. Of course, we're not called B'nai Avram, we're called B'nai Yisrael. And the galus in which we find ourselves is galus Edom. Edom, of course, is another name for Esav. So we find ourselves at the end of time. Le'inei kol Yisrael, the last three words of the Torah, the end of time. And we still have this battle that's taking place in the world. In galus Edom, the world of Esav, versus B'nai Yisrael, versus each and every one of us. And all we have to do is look at a short series of psukim, and we see that perspective is the key difference between Yaakov and Esav. In Source 17, when Yaakov and Esav meet up in Parshas Vayishlach, Vayomer Esav, and Esav says to his brother Yaakov, Yesh li rav. Esav, the Sfarim say, had an ayin ra, had a stingy eye. Esav has so much going for him, and yet Esav has this perspective, it's not good enough. I want more. I want to see something new, something different. Yesh li rav. I have a lot, but I don't have everything. He's not happy with his portion. He has an ayin ra. He looks at his lot in a negative way. As opposed to Yaakov Avinu, a few short psukim later, he turns to his brother and he says, take from me. Take whatever you need. You know why? Because yesh li kol. I have everything. Esav says, I'm not satisfied. I want something more. The biological descendant of Esav, of course, Amalek, Haman who says, I have 99% of the Jews bowing down to me, but if one Jew doesn't bow down to me, if I don't have it all, I'm not satisfied. That's an ayin ra. That's a terrible midah. As opposed to Yaakov Avinu, who the Sfarim say is the makor of ayin tov, the shorish of seeing in a good way. Yaakov always tried to see in a good way. And therefore the Sfarim say, that when Esav comes to battle against Yaakov Avinu, in Source 18, how many men does he bring along with him? Arba me'os ishimo. He brings along 400 men. The Sfarim say, because 400 is gematria ayin ra. When Esav came to Yaakov, and he says, Yesh li rav, he's coming with his terrible perspective. And he's complaining. And he's looking negatively towards his brother and his lot in life. And Yaakov turns back to him and he says, I have an ayin tov, let me teach you how this works. Yesh li kol. Yaakov suffered a lot in his life. But he was still able to say, Yesh li kol, I'm happy with what I have. I'm able to find goodness in my experience, in whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu has offered me. The very essence of ayin tov is the life of Yaakov Avinu. The Vilna Gaon in this commentary on Mishlei, on the Pasuk in Source 19, Tov Ayin Hu Yivorach, a person of good eye will be blessed. Avram Avinu, the source of Bracha, the Hayei Bracha, this week's Parsha. People who learn to see, again, with Nehora Ma'ali, with elevated, lofty vision. The Vilna Gaon writes, Tov Ayin Hu Yivorach refers to Yaakov Avinu. Why? Because Yaakov lived 147 years, and the gematria of Tov Ayin is 147, and it's divided so precisely. Because Yaakov's life was divided into 130 years before Mitzrayim and 17 years in Mitzrayim. Tov is 17, Ayin is 130. Yaakov Avinu, the 17 years of Mitzrayim, Tov? Those were your good years? That's what the Medrash says. The best years of Yaakov's life was when he was in Mitzrayim. How do you look at a Mitzrayim? How do you look at the suffering of the Jewish people and try to see something good? But the answer is, that's the legacy of Yaakov Avinu. And that's what we're still working on today. Fighting against our Esav, Galus Edom, Western culture, the Hamshacha, the continuation of that world of Esav. The world around us is exactly this world of Esav. That I'm never satisfied with what I have. I need the latest model, I need an upgrade, I need bigger and better. All you have to do is look at the short history of the iPhone from 2007 to 2016. And you get a sense, you get a little bit of a sense of a Yesh li rav attitude. First generation iPhone, June 29, 2007. 3G, 2008. 3GS, 2009. iPhone 4, 2010. 4S, 2011. 5, 2012. 5C, 5S, 2013. 6, 6 Plus, 2014. 6S Plus, 2015. SE, I don't even know what that is. 7, 7 Plus. You think they're going to stop? You think they're ever going to have the perfect iPhone where they'll say, Yesh li kol? Yesh li kol, I have everything. There's an attitude of Yesh li rav. No, I need better. I need bigger. I need an upgrade. I'm not satisfied with something that's old-fashioned. Today I had the opportunity, to bury a Holocaust survivor who passed away. A relative of ours, my aunt's mother, not my grandmother, but my aunt's mother, her Levaya was today. And at the Levaya, it was noted that for the last 53 years of her life, she's been living in an apartment in Washington Heights. What an amazing thing. She never felt I need to move to a bigger house. I need a bigger space, I need a fancier kitchen, right? I need a nicer car, I need a fancier phone. That a Jew could be able to say, Yesh li kol, I have exactly what I need. What more could I possibly want in this world? What more could I possibly need? To have such a perspective, to have such an ayin tov, that's a big bracha. Tov ayin hu yivorach, that's the world of Yaakov Avinu, and it's the antithesis of Galus Edom, of Esav, in which we find ourselves. So Mir Tashem, I want to end with one final remez and a little bracha. The remez is that Galus Edom, we know, is the longest of the Galios. It's been dragging on for almost 2,000 years. It's a Galus that doesn't seem to have an end in sight. The Medrash says that Galus Edom is compared to Tahom, to the depths of the ocean, where it's impossible to see how deep it goes. If you take the word Edom, if you take Edom, and you expand it, you spell out the letters, Aleph, Dalet, Vav, Mem, it's called Miloy. If you spell out the letters of Edom, it's Gematria 731, which is Gematria Einei Kol Yisrael. Because the avoda of putting an end to the lengthening of the Galus of Edom is that a Jew finally comes to those last three words of the Torah and corrects, Einei Kol Yisrael, the eyes of the Jewish people, to come back to Bereishis, to be back where we're supposed to be. Mir Tashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us to have Jewish eyes, to have Jewish perspectives, to be people of Tov Ayin Hu Yivorach, to be people who understand an Eretz Yisrael Dika outlook, an Avraham Avinu Dika outlook, to look at the world in such a beautiful way. And then Mir Tashem, as we say every Shabbos, or at least we should say, in that paragraph that we recite when we take out the Torah, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, in the final source, Ki ayin ba'ayin yiru, an eye for an eye, so shall you see, b'shuv Hashem Tzion. The way that you see in this world is the way that you'll see Lasid Lavo with Mashiach, and we should be zochet to see Mashiach, b'mher b'yameinu.